Hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. I'm John.
And I'm Caitlin.
And today on the episode, we're going to talk about a number of different things.
Come on, John.
I feel like something's different about the podcast this time. It's because we're recording during the day.
That must be it. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's slightly left evil laughter for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, normally you have a lot more evil laughter, Caitlin.
I do, but my throat hurts today, so.
Anyway,
might be why my voice has changed.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. But let's not focus on that. Let's get into the first segment.
Oh, so you do those sound effects with your voice, do you?
Yeah, but we edit the cool ones over.
Okay. Like,
you're not supposed to tell people that.
Oops.
Okay.
Never mind.
So the first topic we want to talk about is healthy eating. How is healthy eating going to help us survive the apocalypse? Because me and Adam, every time we have a podcast, if we need to get food...
You go to Macca's and then you hide the evidence in the bin so that I won't know, but you feel terribly guilty, so later you admit to it anyway, so really there was no point.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah.
Anyway, it's come to my attention that this might not be that good, a good way to live our lives. So, healthy eating, will that help us survive the apocalypse?
Well, I think in the apocalypse, you're going to have to take whatever you can get, right? But a lot of this is probably, you're going to be able to hoard canned food, because it'll last a lot longer. You know, and I assume there's an infection going around, so all the fresh food is actually...
Oh, what's that sound?
What kind of monster do you keep in here, John?
All right, just run. So canned food. Isn't canned food unhealthy, though?
Well, depends what you're buying in cans. I mean, I guess you can buy Spam, which is probably pretty awful. I don't know if it's healthy or not.
Yeah, spiced ham. I've heard that's one of the worst things you can eat.
Beans and vegetables, and that's probably going to be what you can get your hands on, so that'd be quite good.
You can't see, but I'm glaring at both of you.
Yeah, all right.
Yes,
we should probably get back to the...
Adam's back.
Yeah.
And he's not looking too happy that I've taken his seat,
Look,
to be honest.
You deserve this, Adam. You were late. You said 3 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, what is the time right now?
Oh, make sure you get sleep, Adam. And I made sure I got some sleep.
Because I like a live co-host, not one that's dead. Wait, I feel like that, I don't know, we didn't really get off. Let's
start that again.
That's Mission Impossible. We could get a copyright.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they're really going to get us for that. Anyway, welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way.
That feels much better. I'm not sure what was wrong the first time. Anyway,
neither was I, but I do feel a budding fury beginning to well up. But that's me generally, I guess.
Yeah, you're returning to normal form.
Normalcy has been restored. Maybe it was, as a throwback to last episode, maybe it had something to do with all the blood that I've been giving away of late.
Oh, yeah. Your evil has been spread too thin.
Yes. So, welcome, everybody, to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way. We are so thrilled to have you with us. If you're listening to us in the cold light of day, that's good. Well done.
What about the warm light of day?
No, the warm light of day. Nobody listens to us in the warm light of day. No, it's either the cold light of day or the angry light of night.
Today on the episode, we're going to talk about casting the name of the wind. We're going to talk about the expansion on the Himalayas.
Himalayas, yeah. So they're actually growing. I'm not sure if everybody knows that.
Sorry, the expansion on the simulation hypothesis.
How did you get Himalayas from that?
Because the simulation hypothesis. Himulation hypothesis. Get it? Like never mind. And then we're also going to talk about how to grow your own food for free. And we're going to talk about something secret that Adam is going to tell us. Because
it's a brilliant new segment that I'll describe later on.
It's going to be the greatest segment of all time.
Wow, that is a lot of pressure.
Everyone will go, this was the episode that changed everything for the podcast.
Doesn't need to change. It's perfect the way it is. Much like all our listeners out there, never change.
We are also going to have another apocalypse off. Did you come prepared for that, Adam?
Somewhat, yeah.
Oh, wow. Because I didn't at all. I better start thinking
about
something.
You better think real quick.
We're also going to be educated. We're going to learn some new words and learn that John has no idea what they mean.
Oh, and I have a great love for words, especially words that kind of... Well, they just roll off the tongue and they sound sexy as all hell.
And if you want to hear Adam say a lot of words, you can listen back to the Halloween special where he reads Edgar Allan Poe. One of the top moments of our podcast, I'm sure.
I would say probably top 12, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's only been 12 moments.
There's only been 12 podcast. Episodes. Yes, definitely.
And then we're going to finish up with a... update on Overwatch.
Indeed.
Okay, so let's jump into it, I suppose.
Alrighty. Transition!
After we finished episode 11, you said that you had an expansion on the simulation hypothesis.
Well, not so much an expansion. I listened to another podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, I've listened to that. You recommended it to me.
And I recommend it to everybody. In fact, this should be a podcast where we recommend a podcast to everybody.
But don't listen to it until you've listened to all our archives, okay?
At least six times.
Yeah.
So,
and then leave it on loop when you're asleep to make the play count go up.
Fantastic. Maybe that's what I should do. But anyway, so we had... I was listening to that one on Driving Around, and they discussed the simulation hypothesis briefly. And it was very interesting, so I figured, you know, I'd delve into it a bit more. And I just love that... For those of you who are out there in the world right now and you're stressed and worried and, you know, you've got bills coming up and family gatherings that you're not really wanting to attend or whatever, just remember, virtually all mathematics and science points towards the fact that we are living in a simulation.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm not just talking about mathematics on the simulation hypothesis. I'm talking about quantum physics kind of talks about us, points towards us living in a simulation.
Wow.
So light, everybody knows light. If you look outside during the day, you'll see this horrible glowing ball in the sky that causes pain and cancer.
Wow, I've never heard the sun described so horribly before.
Most people like to do it in a poetic light. I save my poetry for the moon, personally. Okay. But regardless, so you have light that exists. And when it is being observed, it acts like a wavelength. Okay, and I'm going to describe an experiment that kind of reinforces all this type of stuff. Okay, so light behaves as a wavelength when being observed. But when it is not being observed, it acts as a particle. Right? So it is a dual, it has its duality in nature. Now I'm going to butcher this, and Tyson, who listens to our podcast, is going to be jumping up and down, probably biting his steering wheel on his way to work in the morning when he listens to our podcast.
Tyson from Screen Review Time Warp.
Doo-doo-doo. So, so we have the double slit experiment. Okay? So what this is, let's say you've got a receiver, like picture a brick wall, okay, with two bricks removed. Okay?
Got it.
So, let's say you fire a photon, or you fire light at this wall, okay, and you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to pass through both holes as a wavelength.
Yeah.
Let's say you turn around, and this is obviously like very much watered down, okay, Tyson?
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
Exactly. So you look at that, and it acts as a wavelength, passes through both holes. You turn around, or you're not observing the wavelength, and you fire it again, and it's only going to pass through one of those holes. Because it is now acting as a particle, not as a wavelength. So, why do you think that is?
Because it exists as a quantum wave, and the wave doesn't collapse until it's observed.
Interesting. Okay.
Sorry, I read up about the double slit experiment, and that's what they told me it means.
Yeah, that's good. But let's think about this from a different point of view, like a simulation point of view.
Yes, sorry.
If you were to simulate our universe, you would need a computer as large as our universe to run it.
Correct.
Unless you start cutting back on things.
Yeah, simplify.
Like, for instance, things not being, sorry, things acting differently when they're not being observed to save on processing power. Because I'm sure creating a particle instead of a wavelength will create, well, will use less power or use less memory, RAM, whatever, in difference to anything else.
So if you're looking away, it simplifies back to a particle?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, kind of, no, simplify, yeah, it would simplify back to a particle. Or, like, there's a whole bunch of things out there that kind of reinforces simulation hypothesis.
Can I just jump in here? Because
yeah, of course.
I studied game development for 3 years.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you have to do is, obviously, performance management. So you want to, whatever way you can, reduce the amount of processing power that you have to use to render a scene.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's, like, looking at water, it's all detailed. They can, like, look closely and you can see the reflections or whatever. But as soon as you look away, you're not rendering any of that anymore.
Mm.
And there's a lot of work that goes into not just calculating, simulating, and rendering the environment around you, but also calculating what you can't see and making sure no processing power is dedicated to it.
Yep.
It's actually a hard thing to do. Like, a lot of people think, well, it's not on the screen, so don't render it. But you have to actually work out when no one is looking to make sure you don't have to render it.
Yeah, for sure.
Super interesting.
Yeah, righto. Yeah, well, I mean,
but occlusion culling, if you want to look into it.
Mm. But let's go back to history, okay?
Okay.
Now, we kind of discussed this in our, I think it was our dimension hopping.
Yeah, it's an early episode. That was episode one.
I think
dimension hopping.
I think the subject that I'm about to talk about is basically discusses what we're about to say. And that was glitches. So do you remember we're talking about Merlin was a supreme hacker?
Yes, that's right, because he was able to use all the glitches in the system to create magic.
Yeah, but what if that was the case? Because the point of a simulation is to, obviously, to allow it to reach, like, peak performance, if you will, to simulate perfection.
Yeah, they would keep correcting it until it can...
So what if... And this goes with the song That Never Ends as well, by the way.
Okay. Whoa, this is like epic throwback
to episode
one or two or whatever.
No, yeah, but, like, all these things. So if you have... an early simulation, it's going to be filled with glitches, okay? So perhaps glitches of mythical creatures, dragons, chimeras, unicorns, centaurs, all these interesting little things.
Yeah, like the unicorn is just it couldn't quite decide if it wanted to be a horse
or
a rhino,
yeah.
And it glitched out and just took features from both.
Yeah, and because they were super rare... I mean, like, yeah, humans have a decent imagination, but I don't think humans have the capacity to think about half the stuff that medieval type of interesting, well, medieval fantasy came up with, if you will. And, yeah, so, like, all these glitches could be the, you know, basically part of the simulation.
And the song...
developing.
The song that never ends, or the song that doesn't end, it actually glitched out, and the system had deleted the information of what the song had been called, except for the basic format.
Except we still remember.
Yeah.
Because you still... Like, you can't adversely affect a simulation directly. You can only affect its environment.
Whoa.
To, like... continue, like, purity of results. But what if our entire universe is just some horrible, horrible, like, high school experiment for some, like,
yeah, like
unimaginable entity?
Or, like, yeah, like, it's doing uni and it's, like, got to simulate this low-level intelligent world filled with people that aren't that smart. And it's, like, incredible brain that it's got. And, like, now, at, like, in 10 billion years' time... it's going to be due for the assignment. It's going to submit it, and then it's going to be like, well done, you got 98% for that.
Well,
that's
what we need to strive for.
And then, boom, it shuts off the universe, because
yeah.
It's like, oh, I got 98%, sweet.
Yeah, but on... So
and we're all
thing.
Dead.
No, but that's the thing. So on No Such Thing as the Fish, and I didn't research this, I should have, but they talked about there is a bunch of anonymous billionaires that are funding research in Silicon Valley to learn how to escape the simulation.
Whoa.
Because a whole bunch of... Like I said, there's so much evidence to point towards that we're in a simulation. It's fascinating, really. I mean, if we are in a simulation, honestly, it doesn't change anything for me personally, but I just think that's brilliant. There's literally billions of dollars being funneled into this research to learn how to escape this simulation.
Someone said even Elon Musk himself...
Potentially.
Like, surely that's not true. The guy that has SpaceX and Tesla.
Why not?
But, like, if he's got some spare cash, investing into this idea of getting out of the Matrix.
Mm, but that's essentially what it is. We're in the Matrix.
Remember, guys, if you get deja vu, glitch in the Matrix.
It could be. Glitch in the simulation.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I like it. Transition!
I want to teach you how to grow your own food for free.
Now, that would be brilliant in the learning how to survive the apocalypse. The nerd's way.
Yes, because it takes a lot of nerdy intelligence to be able to grow
your own
food.
Enlighten us, John.
Okay, so the first thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to start getting seeds. Because if the apocalypse happens right now, where are you going to get your food from? Like, you're not going to be able to go to the IGA, like, shoot a few zombies on your way down and be like, hey, Greg, how's it going? Yep, got some beans. Take it back.
Yum beans.
Where are you going to get your food from? You're going to be hunting it, right? But there's so many other people hunting, and there's so many people on the earth now. So what's a more sustainable way of getting your food?
Well, growing
it. Yeah, growing it yourself.
Like, obviously, we're going to have to go back to certain grassroots when it comes to farming.
Grassroots.
Oh, wow, that was horrible. We've probably just lost 7 listeners from that. So we've got the premise of self-sustainability almost. But, okay, and you just said we have to start collecting seeds.
Yes. So that's the first step.
But where would we collect seeds from?
That's a good question. So I'm going to say that right now you don't need to bother buying like seed packets. You can, and they can send them to you, but that's expensive. Like, who can be bothered spending money trying to survive the apocalypse?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Some silly people, you know, who brought, you know, MREs and a whole bunch of survival gear. No.
But, I mean, we can laugh now, but then when the apocalypse comes, they're going to be the ones who are going to survive, not us.
Yes, we are.
Adam is one of those people. Anyway, the point being, I've sidetracked a little bit here.
And that's all right. That's literally 98% of our podcast.
True, very true. So the first thing you want to do is get your seeds for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the easiest way to do that is from the fruit that you're buying anyway. Now,
I have a question here, but go on.
Yes.
You'll probably answer it in this.
What I want to remind everyone that we're talking about fruit from the point of view of a gardener, not from the point of view of a chef. So what that means, there's a lot of things that we call quote-unquote vegetables that are actually fruit. So say, for instance, capsicum. All the seeds in a capsicum are ready to go. If you threw them in the garden right now, like a whole capsicum's worth of seed, pretty sure that a capsicum is going to grow out. How do I know that? Because I did that in my garden as an experiment, and I've now got a capsicum with about 4 or 5 or 6 fruit on it.
Wow, that's cool.
It is very. So that required no effort on my part, except a little bit of watering. Now,
just as a point of note, a capsicum.
Yes.
Are they called peppers in America?
Bell peppers.
There you go. So for our American listeners, and I know we have some.
Oh, wow. Yeah, true.
Yeah, bell peppers. That's what a capsicum is.
Same with chilies. You can get the seeds straight out. Now, other vegetables such as the zucchini, the seeds have not matured by the time they pluck it off the plant. So that's an example of a fruit that you cannot grow. But other ones that you can grow are pumpkins. You can even grow potatoes. If you get a potato with the quote-unquote eyes on it, that's actually little sucker plants that are going to grow out into their own potato plant and then start growing more potatoes under the ground. Same with sweet potato, obviously. So, same thing.
Just for Alice and for me, because this is fascinating. The eyes of a potato, because basically I'm a horrible, horrible paranoid individual, and I'm just going to be throwing random vegetables into the ground all over the place to, you know, help me in the future. So
correct.
Eyes on the potato. I have never heard this expression before. Can you briefly describe that? Or maybe even put up a picture on Facebook. Maybe
I will. So the eye on the potato is that little blob. You get your potato that's basically just gray, and it has those little dots on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're biting to it, if the eye has started to grow a bit, you'll be biting into a potato, and you'll get that weird kind of like really sour, like, ooh, what is that? That makes you like, I don't know, pull a weird face. That's because the eye has actually started to grow into a new potato plant.
Oh, right.
So if you buy from IGA and Woolworths and stuff like that, they'll often cut off the eyes or cover it in enzymes to stop the eyes from actually growing so that it lasts longer on your shelf.
Okay.
So if you want to do this, you're probably going to want to go to a farmer's market. But if you do all your shopping at the chains, that's fine. sometimes your potato will still grow and that's fine. Yeah, but it's easier if you do go to a farmer's market.
So when you have this potato with these eyes, all you have to do is like chuck it in the ground.
Yep.
Fascinating.
And you will need to water it a bit, especially if you live in Australia. Worst place to live in the apocalypse, but...
Worst and best.
Worst and best. Mm-hmm. There's reasons for and against, right?
Worst place in Perth, because it's sand and desert and pain and suffering. Eastern coasts and on the southern
Tasmania
coast.
Tasmania might be safe from the virus.
Tasmania, perfect.
Because no one travels there for fun. Sorry, guys.
Oh,
it's going to help you out.
Yeah, in the long run.
So you'll be safe from the zombie
virus. I'd love to go to Tasmania.
I thought you were going to say New Zealand.
I almost did.
I often just think of them in the same place, really.
Yeah, no.
Not much difference.
Yep.
It's just two islands off Australia.
This has been Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. Thanks for listening. We're never coming back.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, guys. Please listen to our podcast.
So that's with any potatoes. That's fascinating. I really like that idea.
Sweet potato as well, and then the golden purple potatoes, or whatever they call it, silverback potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
All work. And it's the same with capsicum. All you have to do is throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing that you're probably going to want to start doing now or later is you're going to want to put together a compost pile, because all those apple cores that you're eating and all the pumpkin skins, all those things that you're leaving behind, if you put them into the ground, they're going to put so much nutrients into your soil. So if you live in a place like Perth, which a lot of metropolitan places are, I mean, suburban areas are, you end up with these locations that really aren't that livable, except that we have our amenities like water and we can get our food from the store. They're not that livable, but we can convert the sandy soils that we have here into fertile soils just by throwing all the food waste into the ground, or if you have a bin that can keep it neater. But really, you don't need a bin, doesn't do anything. You can just put it in a pile if the emergency comes.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. I like this. Now, I have a question for you. So, I love nature, right? So, when I worked down on the mine site for a while there, when there were, in springtime and everything like that, and possibly even late autumn or summer, I can't even remember, but certain seeds would be falling off the tree, like all over the place, all the gum trees and things like that. And I planted hundreds of these seeds, and none of them grew.
Oh, man.
So, is there not a... don't they need to be fertilized, these seeds?
Yes, but the thing about seeds is...
Mm.
Most of the time a seed has been fertilized, if it exists. Like, that means the flower was fertilized and the flower produces seeds. But seeds need to, what they call, germinate, which means turning from a seed into the actual plant itself. That's very difficult to do. That's the hardest bit. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing you caught me up on that. Plants like capsicums, super easy. Pumpkins, super easy. You just need to make sure it's the right time of year. So what I did is I ate a pumpkin, scooped out all the seeds, just threw them in the garden, forgot about it. Right now, in my garden, there's the hugest pumpkin plant you've ever seen, and it's growing 3 pumpkins, and I think more, but it's kind of hard. It's sprawling everywhere, so it's kind of hard to find them all.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
So, and that requires just a bit of watering. But I actually threw them in ages ago, but it's only just now growing because it realized, oh, it's the right season, time for me to grow.
Right.
So that's two things that you need to think about, season and watering. So... trees are notoriously bad at germinating because they're super fussy.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably why you had trouble. But it's not game over. So if you're in the apocalypse, you probably may have some sandwich bags left over, or you can find basically any plastic bag in the world. Because remember, plastic bags are going to outlive humans by millions and millions of years. So if you're alive... plastic bags are probably still around.
Unless, well, we'll discuss it, but the plastic-eating fungus that they're working on. But yes, go ahead.
Quite. We might talk about that in a future episode.
Indeed.
So, assuming that we haven't been all eaten by the plastic-eating fungus...
that has mutated and now is taking over the planet and causing the apocalypse.
Foreshadowing to the following episode.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to find a plastic bag. Now, what that's going to do is you're going to have to source some water. Good news is... you don't have to be very fussy with this water. It can be like contaminated water. So you don't need to worry about your precious, precious water supply for yourself.
Yep, filtered water.
You can even, how do I put this? You can even use your own human waste water for this. It may be dangerous.
You may pee all over your plants. You just pee. You go for it.
It may burn the seed, but, I mean, if you've got a lot of seeds to spare, try it anyway. But anyway, basically find some water. Doesn't have to be drinkable. Put it into the plastic bag with seeds, and you just leave it in there. And what it will do is create this intense humid environment that will cause any seed to germinate at pretty much any time of year. So you can basically force it to germinate instead of it just being super fussy and never germinating. So that is a trick if you have a notoriously hard seed to germinate to get it to germinate.
That's awesome. All right, we're trying that.
All right.
Yep, I'm liking this. Because I used to do that with, like, apple seeds all the time and orange seeds. Like, I'd throw these seeds out into, like, fields because we were surrounded by farmers' fields and everything like that, and not one of them bloomed ever.
The unfortunate thing about apples and oranges is that we've modified them genetically to the point that they're very, very bad at growing in the wild.
Ah, right. Okay.
But they can still grow. Their fruit will not taste anything like they used to. And when I say genetically modified, by the way, I don't mean like scientists in a lab, like with tweezers and weird chemicals. I just mean farmers. What they would do is they'd find one tree in their whole orchard that has like bigger, redder, plumper fruit, and they'd be like, this is what we need. They chop off the branch and then literally chop off a branch of another tree and then stick it on to the other tree, and then it would start, then the tree that was not that great would start growing these big red plump trees from the good tree.
Oh, right.
And then they would just keep doing that over and over until they found redder, plumper, bigger apples. But then eventually that apple tree has forgotten how to survive in the wild, and it's just concentrate, like, it's not intelligent, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just adapted by coincidence to being this red, nice-to-eat fruit, but it's not good at growing and it's not good at
germinating. Right, okay. Yeah, okay, I like that. There you go. The more you know, ladies and gentlemen.
Same with oranges, lemons, limes, all that.
Any cultivated fruit, essentially.
Yes.
I see. Okay, so, right, I like that. So we have a baseline. Perhaps we can expand upon this.
Apocalypse off. What did the robot call?
Can you
it
save?
Last time?
Oh God, no! I have no idea. That robot is snarky. I met with him in the hallway, and he gave me the most attitude I have ever seen.
Yeah, I know. We really need to rein it in, but man, AI is taking over.
I know, right? That's another apocalypse. That thing is going to skin us when it comes to it.
Oh boy!
With all those razor blades it's got all over it. Why did you build it? Why did you give it sentience, John?
I am regretting everything.
Oh, anyway, so apocalypse off. Also, could you save that little sound bite there?
Yeah.
And every time we have an apocalypse off, you're just going to put that in there.
That will get really repetitive, but sure, why not?
All right, so apocalypse off. Ba-bum-bum-ba-bum.
Guys, it's not called that. It's called world-ending scenario battle, obviously. Begin world-ending scenario battle.
You can go first.
Well, my apocalypse off candidate for you and for our dear listeners today is relating to the last segment, bees disappearing.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, okay.
So, now, it's going to sound like we're still in the old segment, but I'm going to explain. So, in order for flowers to be fertilized and to create fruit and therefore seeds, you need something to pollinate it. Now, you may think, oh, yeah, that's fine. Bees are doing it. Well, no, because all the bees are dying. Yeah. And do you know why?
Because that's the
science. Yes. There's so many bugs in the world that just want to eat all of our crops. You've got, like, cornea worms. You've got, like, cabbage moths. You've got all these caterpillars and inchworms just chomping on everything. And we're just like, that is too much to handle.
Hmm.
We need to mass produce food because there's so many people on the planet.
Seven billion.
There's not enough space on the planet to grow enough food for everyone. Mm-hmm. Well, space in fertile areas to grow food. So we just need to cheat the system. We need to kill the bugs however we can. And we use pesticides to do that.
And that's killing the bees.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
that's
the bees are dying.
Bad.
they can't be flying around getting their honey from the nectar from the flowers.
No more honey, folks.
There's no honey, but also because they're not flying into each flower, they're dying off.
That is very, very depressing and dark.
And this is happening right now. Like, it's normally when we talk about the apocalypse, we're saying, oh, yeah, if. This is literally going on right this very second, like, so right now.
What are some... And this isn't generally part of the apocalypse off, but yeah. Sod it. We're going to do it this way for a moment.
Okay.
What are some tips, tricks that we can help our fellow bees? And I'm actually not a person. I'm actually just human skin covered over a swarm of bees.
Yes, you're 1 million bees.
I'm 1 million bees.
I only lost 100 ants. Now, my queen is laying more. I am 1 million ants.
I am back to being 1 million bees. Yes.
If you haven't watched Rick and Morty, you have no idea.
Yeah,
what
no
we're
idea.
About.
That's fine. So what are some tips, tricks that we can help out the bees?
Well, I'm glad you asked because it relates to my previous segment again.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to get planting whatever we can.
Flowers.
Anything with a flower, including a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is going to be feeding our bees.
Yeah.
Now, there's some that are particularly good at attracting bees, like...
Which ones?
Grevillea, and which I think is an Australian native, and borage, which grows just fine in Australia and is native to the rest of the world. So, if you live out there, you can use borage instead. Those kind of things are going to attract so many bees, and the bees are going to be able to build their nests. They're going to be able to grow their honey, and then their queen is going to lay more bees, and that's going to save the world. So whatever you do, get flowers, save the world.
I mean, I'm all for the world ending horrifically, okay?
Okay.
But saving the world with flowers just sounds so boring.
It does, but...
Hey, whatever works, I guess. I like it. However, flowers won't save you from my apocalypse.
Oh.
We briefly mentioned it last episode, and it worries me a lot because there's nothing we can do to stop it. There is no expedition into a spacecraft to land on an asteroid to blow it to pieces... To save Earth. No, you can't do that for my apocalypse. You cannot plant flowers to stop the bees. You cannot create advanced medicines. No. Because when a super volcano erupts, there is nothing that can be done to stop the devastation. We can delay it, of course. But humanity will not be able to survive for an extended period of time in an ash-covered world. Thus endeth humanity and all higher life forms. Because, so, when, let's say Yellowstone National Park, right?
I watched the documentary, never been there, but I watched the documentary. So beautiful.
It is, yeah. But that's a massive part of that is a caldera of a supervolcano. So huge. So when that's been dormant for hundreds of thousands of years, and it's overdue for an eruption, but just because it's overdue, it doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. I mean, we're talking about the lifespan of a planet here, the cosmos itself stretching before us in unadulterated fury. But no, this is... No, this is literally, we have no idea when it will erupt, if it will erupt, whatever. But if it were to, let's say right now, as we're talking, Yellowstone goes boom. And, you know, we'd probably feel it in the shaking of the Earth.
No, here in Australia.
Possibly.
Possibly.
That's literally no evidence to back that up. It depends on the strength of the explosion.
Let's just go with yes, you can feel it.
It sounds so much more impressive, right?
Yeah.
Yellowstone erupts, we get a 7.3 earthquake in Australia. Not really. But anyway, so, you know, we feel a rumble or whatever. But so much of America is going to be absolutely obliterated, like, immediately from this explosion. But that's not what's going to end the world straight away. It's going to be the ash cloud that covers the Earth. Because there's going to be so much soot, dust... volcanic rock, all sorts of stuff that's going to be ejected into the atmosphere.
Can I just also say that this happened recently. I don't know if it was a super volcano, but a regular volcano blew up and it stopped all plane flights. It was the volcano in Iceland.
Oh, right.
So I actually visited Iceland and I walked on the glacier near the volcano and you can basically see these mountains in the glacier. Now, if you don't know, glacier is just really slow moving ice. Now, we were like, why is there some mountains? Shouldn't the glacier just be flat because it's all water? And they're like, what that is parts of ash that have landed on the ice and have insulated the ice so it stays ice and it doesn't move as fast as the rest of it. And then it gets clumped up on there. So, like, the far-reaching impact of just a regular volcano, like, that was on the news here in Australia. And it was all the way up in Iceland. Like,
all traffic, all air traffic stops if this super volcano goes off.
And, like, the ash cloud is... I mean, wait, why am I helping you out with your one?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
But, like, breathing that in, like, the catastrophic consequences of a super volcano are just off the chain.
I know, right? So... With, and it's not just Iceland that had that volcanic explosion and all air traffic stopped. It happens in Bali all the time.
Oh, man. I thought we were safe.
No, no. Like, Australia, we're pretty safe from volcanoes, but not from a super volcano. On we don't have an active volcano on our continent. We're pretty lucky.
Good.
Active volcano. We have many dormant volcanoes, but no active volcanoes. So, with the super volcano just going boom... All life will eventually perish, all higher life forms.
Whoa.
Because the ash cloud is going to cover the atmosphere. No, very little sunlight is going to get through. And that sounds magnificent for me because, you know, ew, the sun and yay, the night. But I'm not going to be able to see stars, so that's going to be horrific. But all plant life will die, which mean all herbivores die, which in turn mean all predators will die. So
really our apocalypses were the same. The killing of all plants in the end.
I guess so, yeah.
Bees are the same as volcanoes. No, the opposite of volcanoes. The lack of bees equals a volcano. Okay, our mathematics is a bit off, but it's there.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, so, yeah, all right, so let us know. Which one would you prefer? Which one is more horrifying and devastating? Would you prefer the slow death of the bees, or and they're the slow death of humanity? Or would you prefer the quick burn of a supervolcano? Let us know. Facebook or Twitter.
TheNerdsWay_pod on Twitter or Facebook.com/TheNerdsWay.
Yep, to the end of the show.
So, what you're all dying to know is who won last episode. I have the answer right here in front of me.
Oh.
And, sorry, we went over time, so we can't reveal who it is.
Oh, bugger. Join us on The Nerds Way. Farewell.
Okay, if you can't tell... That means the votes came in and Adam is ahead. And I just wanted to not reveal it on the podcast.
Oh, really? I did not know that. Who voted?
There was more votes for you. Let's not say how many people voted.
Okay.
But there was more for you.
Right. Okay. You see, I didn't even vote for myself. So maybe I should be. I'm going to add that. I'm just going to do that now, actually. So just extend my lead.
Oh, well, you already won. Like, the voting's over. It's too late, Adam.
Oh,
it's too late.
Bugger. All right, fair enough. So, yeah, nonetheless.
So, you won with your description of superbugs killing us all. It somehow beat off the gamma ray burst, which I thought was pretty scary that in an instant we'd all just be dead.
Oh, yeah, it's scary, but it's...
And houses melting.
But it's unlikely. I mean, the Earth has been around for billions of years, and we've never been hit by a gamma ray yet. But these superbugs, oh, they're just waiting for their time.
Okay, you won. So,
yes, I did.
If that means that you should, out of sympathy, vote to me this time...
Don't fall for his nonsense, listeners. Listen to that false sadness. I see everything.
We've been waiting a long time for this segment. It is going to be the greatest segment of all time, of any podcast we've ever done.
No podcast will ever come close to this segment.
It's going to be incredible. Are you ready?
All right, here we go. All right.
Oh,
Oh my goodness.
How amazing was that? Oh, wow. I cannot believe. Like, could you believe that guy?
Yeah, I know. And then the sieve and then the weird thing with
that bear showed up out of nowhere. I honestly thought that we were going to die.
But it got stuck in concrete. It was cool.
Oh, it was
very
strange.
I am really hoping I remember to click record on that segment.
I hope so as well.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Won't even bother checking.
That's fine. Cool. Oh, I love it.
So, Adam, we're going to learn something on the podcast, which is new because most times when people are listening to our podcast, they're actually losing brain cells, not making new ones.
That's not real nice for our listeners.
I'm sorry. No. It was insane.
Oh, yeah. Listen to him backtrack now.
I was being self-deprecating, like saying that.
I know what you mean.
Okay. Anyway, so the point is now, your listening to this podcast is all going to pay off because you're going to learn some new words.
Indeed. All right. So, if none of you know, I love words. They sound delicious. They feel fantastic. And they just extend everything that you want to convey in a brilliant, brilliant ecstasy. So, I figured, John, I'm going to throw some words at you. And you're going to guess what they are, what their meaning is.
I'm just glad you're not throwing knives at me, to be honest.
Well, we've done that one already.
Wait, what?
you may have been a bit out of it. Regardless, so...
I knew I was a clone of myself.
Many times over. Okay, so, John. Number one. What does sonder mean? Sonder.
It means when you say something and you wait to see what everyone thinks about it.
It is.
What? Oh.
No.
I thought my wild guess.
So, it is the realization that each passerby that you meet has a life as vivid and as complex as your own. So, a type of self-realization or external realization, if you will.
I get that so often on the train, like when you see other people on the train.
That is sonder.
But do you know what? This happened to me the other day when I was at just buying my groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I just had this weird moment of like, this person on the counter like has a best friend. They have their like goals that they want to achieve in life and the things they would really want to do in their dreams. And I was just like, that's crazy. And like every other person in the shop as well. Yeah, sonder. There you go. There I never go. Knew what it was. So how do you spell it? With an O or an A?
S-O-N-D-E-R.
Wow, that's easy. Sonder. I'm going to use that now.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about ellipsicism?
That's when you make lots of pauses, like dot, dot, dots, because that's called an ellipsis.
True. But no, this is, and I get this quite a bit, the sadness that you'll never be able to know how history will turn out.
Whoa. Yeah, like how you'll be remembered and stuff.
Not just yourself, including, but how let's say I was 70 and really loved Name of the Wind, okay?
Oh, no.
And that person passed away. I passed away being 70-year-old. And they're never going to know Doors of Stone.
Doors of Stone, yeah.
So,
yeah. There's this really interesting moment in the Doctor Who special regarding this. It's not a spoiler. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to tell Adam, but he hasn't watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this moment where the Doctor is talking to a World War One soldier. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, it's so weird that this whole thing has involved a World War One soldier. And then the World War One soldier goes, World War One. And he's like, yeah, you're from the World War, right? And then he's like, no, what do you mean World War One? Isn't this the Great War?
Mm.
Like, there's a World War Two?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just like, it's down your spine. You're like, yes, they wanted this to be the end of it all, and it wasn't.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that from, like, narrative. That's real good. Okay, so next one. Let's see. What about opia?
Is that when you like eating poppy seeds?
Yes. It is.
No.
Yeah.
What?
It is. No, of course it's not.
All right. One day I'm not going to fall for that.
It is the ambiguous intensity of looking someone in the eye, which can feel simultaneously invasive and vulnerable.
Okay, right now I'm going to stare at him in the eye. And if you're around, someone you know, stare them in the eye.
Even if you're on the train, just really creep them out.
Someone random. Mm-hmm. This is going to be weird for me when I'm editing the podcast, but just go with it, John.
15 seconds. All right, ready? And go. I do not like this at all. As a point of note, this is horrifying. I don't like maintaining eye contact at the best of times, and now I'm having to do this for about 15 seconds. Okay, I feel slightly naked.
Oh, wow, yeah. That was intense.
Yeah.
I like how the definition used the ambiguous intensity, like, because you don't know what it means, right?
No.
Could be anger, it could be, like, love, well, it could be wondering what the other person's thinking.
Now, this one, I'm picking this one because I'm a sadomasochist, essentially.
Okay.
This is because this word is impossible to pronounce, but I'm going to give it my best shot. Ready, folks?
Awesome.
Okay.
That's a weird word.
Oh, yeah, that's it. So that means, no. Okay, so. Mora Bora Tring Kiet.
That's a spell out of Harry Potter, isn't it?
It could have been, yeah. It doesn't kill people. It literally pushes them away, which, that's what this does. No. So that is the inexplicable urge to push people away, even close friends who you really like.
Wow. Is that you?
It could literally be me, yeah. Let's face it.
Because I get that in moments, like where you're just like deliberately saying stuff so that people will stop being friends with you because you don't think that you deserve it or something. Like, it weirdly happens when you're, like, down or annoyed or something.
Yeah. No, I understand.
I've done it to you as well.
It doesn't work, though.
Yeah.
Just a terrible human being.
It's hard to get rid of you.
It is. I'm like a bad rash.
Someone save me.
It's not happening. Leave him to his suffering. So, my favorite one, and this will be the last. Yeah, we'll say this is the last one. Velikor.
I'm just letting that simmer. I'm not going to guess this time.
You know it anyways.
Do I? Oh, yeah. This was the one you used as an example to sell this set. Can I remember what it meant?
Okay.
Velikor. No. I need to remember it this time or I'm not learning anything.
Yeah. It is. This is my favorite one because it speaks to me on a spiritual level. The strange wistfulness of used bookshops.
Just wow.
I love that. Velikor.
Can I just sidetrack for a second here?
Yeah, of course.
I went to France with my wife and we visited Shakespeare & Co., which is I don't think it's technically it sells non-used books, but it is filled with used books throughout it as well.
Is that the one where you got my Welcome to Nightvale?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so it is honestly my favorite bookshelf in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're walking through it and it's literally every single wall is just covered in books. Like, you can imagine the library out of Name of the Wind or the library out of Game of Thrones, if you prefer that series.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, just twisting and winding, books absolutely everywhere. And we, like, walked through it, and then we could hear this piano playing. And we walked through, and there was an actual piano inside the bookshop.
Oh, that's so cool.
Surrounded with books. And I just started playing.
Unfortunately, that sounds like a dream. Oh,
it was
fantastic.
It was incredible. Unfortunately, the sustain pedal didn't work, which annoys me as a piano player, because then you can't do as much stuff.
Pianist.
Anyway, that's why I say piano player.
Just like pianist.
If I censor that out, it sounds worse, so I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, hey, I'm not swearing.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so I lied. I want to do one more.
Okay.
Because
I just wanted to say, most incredible feeling in the world. Velikor is, like, one of the greatest feelings.
I agree. But also, if you combine it with chrysalism.
Okay, what's that? Is that when you turn into a diamond?
Yes.
That has happened to me many times.
No.
Now I finally have a word for it.
No, chrysalism is the amniotic tranquility of being indoors during a thunderstorm.
I have changed my mind.
So
my favorite.
But imagine
feeling
both
is
Velikor and chrysalism.
Man. And then, oh, that is incredible.
Yeah, right? Oh, man, that would be just, I don't think I'd ever want to leave. If there was like if heaven existed and it was like your own paradise.
Yeah.
like, I can't even remember what that movie, not Patch Adams, has Robin Williams in it. Regardless, it doesn't matter. But if it was that, mine would literally just be a bookshop with a thunderstorm raging outside and a never-ending coffee cafe.
For me, it would be tea.
No, coffee, tea, like just a cafe, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, that would just be my ideal version of heaven. Endless books.
It's like really overcast. You can hear the rain. You can see it patting down on the windows. And you've just got any book that has ever been written and ones that were never written but could have been.
All fascinating things. And you sit and read by like a bay window as the thunderstorm breaks and rages outside with lightning streaking across the darkened sky.
I'm definitely going to add some rain sound effects in the background of this.
I like that.
And cool. Bookshop sound effects? I don't know what that is. Hang on.
It's silence. Wait, hold on. That's right. Ooh. Oh, yes.
Oh! Whoa! Oh, my gosh. That is so scary.
That was the
my heart attack.
The restriction section of the library of Hogwarts.
Yeah, Hogwarts. All right, Adam, how is your team doing in Oakland?
I'm sorry, my team?
The team that you support?
No. Our team, Joe.
Oh, yeah, the podcast's team.
Yeah, yeah. We support San Francisco Shock. Get it right. Boy!
So, yeah, how is our team going? Me and the listeners are interested to know.
So, we are... Overwatch League is back. Had its week off. So...
Wait, people take a week off playing computer games? I take a week off to play computer games.
So, they just finished Stage 1. We're now into the first week of Stage 2, when this is being recorded. So, it should be finished by the time it's out. So... I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to go through the matches I liked and our San Francisco Shock.
Okay.
Now, annoyingly, our glorious San Francisco Shock did not win. They were absolutely stomped by the Gladiators. They were ridden like a horrible, horrible horse through a town, naked. It was not a good experience for anyone involved.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that metaphor was going.
Neither did I. I just decided talking. Yeah. So that was a just absolutely cluster. It was terrible.
Wow. I'm sorry, listeners, if this is too sad news.
I know. It's sad for me, believe me.
Yeah.
So it was one of the other good matches, the anticipated matches, was London Spitfire versus New York Excelsior. Mm. London Spitfire won that 3-2. So that was pretty good. Now, I don't really... I don't really support them so much. They're not, like, my favorite team. But the Dallas Fuel. And the reason why I like them is because there's an Australian player in them, in the team. And Dallas Fuel versus the Gladiators, they won 3-1. And the Gladiators are the one that beat our glorious San Francisco Shock.
Good. Some vengeance.
Yeah, right.
An Australian player.
Yep. Oh, no. And also, so San Francisco Shock have had two games thus far. And they lost against Seoul. Seoul. Seoul Dynasty. So we have two losses this stage, unfortunately. But nonetheless, we can come back from this, please. Baby Bay. Just kill them all right? It all comes down to you, all right?
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, and Dak, and Nomi, and actually all of them. You're all fantastic, and I love you all. So, yes, watch Overwatch League. It's fantastic. Every time we do a podcast, I'm just going to do a very quick, lightning-fast update.
Are we sponsored by... Are we getting money for this? Because...
I am. You're not.
Oh, now I see how it works.
So, in this stage, I'm just going to break it down real quickly. Thus far, from the point of this recording, Seoul and Dallas Fuel, surprisingly, are on 2-0 in this stage. So, they've won two games and lost zero. Philadelphia Fusion have lost one. No, sorry, have won one and lost none. Then you've got Houston Outlaws, New York Excelsior, Gladiators have all won. Oh, sorry, Gladiators have lost one as well, and the rest have lost one each. And the rest have, that's Florida Mayhem, Shanghai Dragons, Boston Uprising, Valiant, and San Francisco Shock have all lost their games so far. So, yeah, pretty good. So keep an eye out, keep watching it. Support esports. It is a fantastic industry, and it will be fun. So, I think that really covers everything, doesn't it, John?
Except for one thing.
What's that?
anger management in the apocalypse, how will it help us survive?
Oh, God, are we really going to do that
Remember
one?
Remember you said at the end of the episode, and I am putting my foot down. When we say something's going to happen in the podcast, it is going to happen. Now, as an example of this, you said in one of the episodes that I've currently forgotten the episode number of.
Then if you don't remember the number, it doesn't happen.
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to insert it right there, here. Sounds like a drill.
On location episode. So the reason why you should tune in next week is because that story where Adam talked about where we drove to the beach and ended up in the middle of nowhere terrified, that's what we're going to be doing next week. We're going to go somewhere and we're going to bring the recording equipment and we're going to record an episode.
It's going to be great.
If we can, we'll also play the Zombie Run game.
Oh.
And
you're telling me to work out. What is this?
We'll be chased around. Like, Adam will be exhausted, but I'll be terrified. It'll be like this weird kind of dual paradox dichotomy thing.
Equalizes us, essentially. Yeah. But you'll be terrified, so you can have more adrenaline, so you're just going to, like, outstrip everything. Oh, yeah, next episode, we're meant to be going for a run. How am I going to get out of this one? So, yeah, that sounds great.
Did you hear that? You said...
I did! Oh, my goodness!
That you are going to run, and so what, you're going to hate yourself for it, but you are going to play the Zombie Run app, because this is the most valuable skill that we can learn and teach onwards to our listeners, is how to run away from zombies.
It's true. Running away from zombies is very important, but in the same breath, sod it. Let them eat me.
Oh, okay. So you really hate running that much?
I will spend all night, I will expend all the energy I have into not doing physical activity than doing physical activity.
Okay. You will put more effort into not running.
I will
running.
Break my own legs.
Wow.
But anger management, huh?
That just means I'm going to win Zombie Run. Yes, anger management.
You're going to win anyways. You're a bloody triathlete.
Okay. But it's happening, okay? Now it's on two episodes.
It's
or
literally
three.
On four, but that's fine.
Yeah. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But for the time being, anger management, how does it help us survive the apocalypse? Well, anger is very powerful, but very dangerous.
So, I agree. If you have that deep well of an unrelenting storm of fury inside you, constantly being renewed by the sufferings of humanity, that could be a potential well of energy for you, because...
Especially in a combat scenario.
Oh, yeah.
More handy.
It's going to flood your system with adrenaline, but you come with the problem of redouts, essentially.
Yes.
When it comes to anger.
Dangerous.
Where they are, because you are no longer in control of your actions. Your sleeping mind, if I could borrow a metaphor from Patrick Rothfuss.
Your unconscious mind.
Essentially,
yes.
Is going to take over. It is going to assess threats accurately. You're not going to necessarily hurt your friends, not necessarily.
But you are going to be in less control of whether
massively.
You do or not.
Yeah, for sure.
Your mind might not be able to remember that X person is with you and this other person is against you, that might just think everyone is a threat.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to just go nutto and hurt everybody. Kill everybody.
And that is going to harm you, not being able to control your anger. So we need to be able to manage it.
Mm-hmm. So what are some steps you can take to managing your anger, John?
Well, something that I've started...
Nobody asked you, John! You will be silent! And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you manage your anger, by taking it out on your closest friends. Good night.
And that ends the episode. If you do need tips with actual anger management, I'm going to say that maybe we're not the best people to listen to, mainly because... I'm scared by Adam.
No, okay, so actual. All right. So anger management, very quickly. So
meditation is a big one for me.
Yep, I
am terrible at it, but I'm trying to do it more often.
Fair enough. Me, it's the slow breath. So
yeah, that, yep.
I very consciously, like immediately if I start getting really angry, especially when it comes to work, I will stop. And I will take three deep, long breaths, very aware of, like, I kind of visualize, inhaling, and then kind of expelling the anger. Not in any type of metaphysical sense, but literally just, it's more of a psychological trick, essentially.
Yes.
And, like, I'm very conscious of the breath entering, it staying, and then leaving. And that calms me down a little bit. So, I like, you know, that works out well enough for me.
And the final tip for anger management is remember that possibly nothing exists and we're all just Boltzmann brains / in the simulation hypothesis.
Indeed.
/ gamma ray bursts are going to destroy us all / a virus. Does this help you guys? I don't know.
It helps me.
Yeah.
Just remember, folks, there's nothing to worry about because we're all in the simulation. Well, that was fun.
It was.
I enjoyed that.
Especially the story about the bear. Like,
oh, man, that segment was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Remember the butterfly?
I don't think I was there for the butterfly. I was actually kidnapped by that mad scientist.
But remember when he gave you the special drill thing that, like, makes you able to walk through... Do you remember that bit? Or?
I do vaguely, but did have half of my brain removed at that time.
Okay.
Thankfully, we met the bad scientist, the evil scientist's brother, who managed to restore me.
Yeah, he
with
was nice.
Some cybernetic augmentations, which is fantastic.
James was his name? I don't know.
Jameson's a Scotch.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was the Scotch he was drinking. That's
it was, yeah. I don't remember. I was still a bit fuzzy.
Yeah, brain surgery while he's drinking. Bad idea.
Yeah, but hey, I've got laser eyes now, and I can see in the dark.
Whoa, right. Adam! Yikes! Stop looking at me! Stop looking at me! Cool, anyway, that brings us to the end of the episode.
Goodness,
it also cuts off my hair. Whew! Oh, smell of burnt hair is pretty bad. Ah! Ah! Stop looking at me!
Alright, folks, well, if you want to get in touch with us, I'm on Twitter at VoiceOfAdam. John?
JLOKELY.
Yeah, I'm never ever going to see your Twitter handle.
And if you have a suggestion for a better Twitter handle, just let me know.
Yep, you can find us at Twitter at TheNerdsWay_pod.
Or Facebook.com/TheNerdsWay.
Or send us an email at TheNerdsWay@gmail.com.
Don't forget, address all hate mail to Adam.
Yes.
And all night. What's love mail to me?
Yeah, it's a fan mail.
Yeah, love mail is something else.
All hate mail comes to me because your hate and rage only makes me stronger.
I feel like maybe we shouldn't always say about hate mail because probably people are like, man, do these guys get a lot of hate mail? Why do they always talk about it? No, we don't get any.
No, but I'm hoping for it.
Yeah, Adam is just longing for that. Anyway, so...
Check out the Overwatch League, read Name of the Wind.
So you can understand the other segment where we were talking about the actors. Otherwise, you're just going to be confused.
Indeed, and we're putting this at the end of the episode because why not?
Yeah.
And don't forget also that we're all going to die because we're killing the bees, and at any moment a super volcano is going to go off and destroy us all. Good night. So... As this podcast is pretty much unofficially a Patrick Rothfuss fan podcast, let's face it.
We love you, Patrick Rothfuss.
Oh, we do. If you're listening to this, I would stroke your beard so tenderly that it would make you weep.
Oh, my...
Yes.
I'm a little creeped out. But
so
we
is
record
he.
Every episode we now record in a room with all of Patrick Rothfuss's published novels in.
Yeah. No, you don't have The Lightning Tree. You don't have The Rogues Anthology.
Yeah, but that he didn't publish that novel. He just
George
has a story
Arbor.
In it.
Yeah, true, but it's still his works.
Look, I know that. I was just trying to make it sound like we liked Patrick Rothfuss.
We do, but like, we do. I have the Rogues Anthology on my phone, so that works, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that was an outburst of anger. I think you need some anger management, good sir. I think you need a coffee.
How can anger management help you survive the apocalypse?
Oh, okay. Save that for the end of the podcast so I can have some time to think.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we are pretty much, unofficially, this is a Patrick Rothfuss fan podcast. My basically favorite works of Patrick Rothfuss is definitely The Slow Regard of Silent Things, which we've discussed before. That's possibly my favorite book of all time.
Mm.
Oh, I know. Big praise. But anyway, in the works at the moment is the... I think it's both a TV and a movie adaptation.
And a play.
Jeez Louise, that's crazy.
Like, all they need is, like, a musical version
I think.
Well?
Yeah, I think that's
like
what's going to happen. Who knows? So, I figured it might be fun for us to cast the movie, or even the TV series, one or the other. But basically just go through, pick actors who we think suit each, well, the role of Kvothe, Elladan, Lauren, Heme, Kilvin.
Uh-oh, I may have missed a few major characters.
I just went through the Masters, essentially. But no, yeah, I just think that'd be fun, because A, it'll give me an insight into how you see the characters, and it'll give you an insight into how I see the characters, and it'll give our listeners a rare and horrifying insight into how our minds work.
Oh, wow, that's dangerous. That's dangerous territory. So I'm also going to say, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not doing anything at the moment, hop on our Facebook page, because I will put together a collage of actors so you can look at them. Maybe you won't be able to know just from the name.
Oh, that's awfully kind of you.
I'm going to hate myself for saying that, but just give it some visual.
Okay, it could just be one of our many, many unfulfilled promises on the podcast.
If so, just tweet at the Nerdsway and say, post that picture.
Yep.
Remember,
all hate mail comes to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's start, shall we?
Oh, you can begin. I'm scared.
Oh, this is going to be so good. All right, so let's just go with the title character, essentially. So, Kvothe. Who have you got for Kvothe?
Okay, so I've got two actors.
All right.
Because even though he's not, like, an old man, he is a little bit older.
We can cast... Well, Kvothe twice, essentially. Young Kvothe and Tavern Kvothe, essentially.
Yes. So he's not like an old man when he's telling the story in the tavern.
No, he's not. He's like 26 or something.
Yes, but he is a different kind of... Like, he's not 18 anymore.
Yeah.
So I have chosen... Now, for the old man Kvothe, I actually don't know how to say this actor's name, so I'm sorry if I get it completely wrong.
He's going
to
butcher it, but it's okay.
Christopher Highview. Do you know who that is?
I can't say I do.
He plays... What is going on?
I don't know, but your wife is making random faces at me and it's horrifying.
Okay.
Hold on, now she's rolling her eyes. She's being very... Oh, do you want me to open the door? Oh, okay. She's listening to the podcast. Listen to the podcast. We need the views. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we need the listens.
We need the listens. Anyway. All right. So, what was the actor again?
Christopher Highview. So, if you don't know who that is,
I don't.
Which I'm guessing you don't.
The name rings a faint bell in another room in my mind.
It's not spelt the way it sounds. Like it's Nordic, which is a clue to who it is.
Ooh.
The actor plays Tormund in Game of Thrones.
Oh, that is good.
Yes. So that's old Kvothe.
That is good.
And then for young Kvothe, Eddie Redmayne. Okay, so first one was good. Second one, terrible.
Similar. Like, it's not that I don't like Eddie Redmayne, but I see him, and I'm sorry if Eddie Redmayne ever listens to this podcast, but I see him as a poor man's Matt Smith.
Yes.
Thank you
for listening to our podcast.
You're amazing in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, yeah.
But I still saw most of Matt Smith's mannerisms in there.
Yeah.
Even if you came up with them yourself, I've been...
Coincidence.
Yeah, I've been toxified by Matt Smith.
Mm.
But regardless.
Okay.
That was good. I like Highview, Christopher Highview. That is real good. I like that.
Yeah.
My one... Okay, so as... Like, the older, because now he is older. And I was so stuck in trying to find him, because there aren't a lot of redhead male actors in Hollywood, right?
I mean, we could always dye their hair, but you kind of have to have that look as well, like it has
natural
to match.
Red hair, you know? Yeah. But I thought to myself, what is one of the most famous redhead male actors that I know of, who I grew up with, who is now old enough now to fill that role? Who do you think?
I have no idea.
Rupert Grint.
So if you don't know, that's Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter movies. Yeah. That's so good.
He doesn't have the gravitas, but that is something that could be learned.
Yeah.
Because obviously all we've seen basically is him as Ron Weasley, who's this meek sidekick character, and Kvothe is literally the center of the room, no matter what room he's in. So, yeah, I like that. So, but young Kvothe I had a bit of difficulty with. So I was thinking, and all I could come up with was a young boy and basically dyeing his hair, sadly. And that is, crap. I think his name was Wolfgang. He's from the kid from Stranger Things and It. I can't remember his name. It's escaping me. I know it's Wolf something. Sorry, I'm going to look that up. There we go. Finn. So, yes. Finn Wolfhard.
Okay.
He's from Stranger Things. Now, all I can think of is, like, this is basically Tar Bean Kvothe is what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Not University Kvothe, Tar Bean Kvothe. And I didn't really cast a University Kvothe, even though that is literally all of his stuff.
Okay, but that's all right, because Eddie Redmayne can fill that role.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. So yeah,
we've picked all different ages.
Yeah, I think that works. All right, so I'm going to choose one.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, all right, so Master Kilvin, the Master Artificer from the university.
I've picked one for him.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Rothfuss himself.
No, he's Manet.
Sorry?
He's Manet.
Who's
Patrick Rothfuss is Manet, the Eternal Elir. That's Patrick Rothfuss.
Eternal Elir.
Like, he's been in the university longer than anybody else, and he's only a lowly Elir, because... The grizzled, like, that's Patrick Rothfuss.
Okay,
he wrote himself into the story.
Oh.
But in such a small role that he doesn't have to do anything.
Okay,
I was
kidding anyway. I haven't actually chosen any of the Masters.
But Patrick Rothfuss does suit that role anyways. So I kind of went with two. So Master Kilvin's touted as this massive type of beast of a man.
Mm.
And I went with the guy who plays Hagrid. Right?
Yes.
Totally. I just stayed with the Harry Potter cast, essentially. Why not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the guy who played Hagrid and... Oh, bugger. I think...
And?
You're right. Sorry, dead air. Terrible thing for podcasts. It's the guy from Game of Thrones. I can't pronounce his name. He's... like Icelandic, the mountain, Gregor Clegane.
Oh, right.
Because,
yeah,
like,
he has a lot of actors throughout the series.
Yeah.
They change his actor many times.
Yeah, the latest one, though.
Okay.
Because all I can think of, or even the Hound, because he's touted as being like this big grizzled guy with a big beard.
It does need to be someone who is quite a big unit. As well as being tall, they need to be like quite...
Yeah, built up. So, yeah, I could think the mountain, because that's kind of like this massive...
Okay.
Artificer. All right, you choose next. Who's going?
I am going to choose next Bast.
Oh, yeah, all right. I didn't even consider Bast. All right.
So I've actually chosen someone who you're either going to be really happy I chose them or really sad I chose them for Bast.
Okay, go on.
Matt Smith. Famous for, of course, the 11th Doctor. Because I see Bast as quite energetic but wise, because he's from the Fae.
Mm-hmm.
He's like... climbing between all the rooms in the building. So we need someone who can get that, because he looks young in the show, right? But Faye, they could be a million years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we already know from Doctor Who that Matt Smith can convey
wisdom
with youth at the same time.
Okay.
So I know it's not perfect, but...
It works. Okay, I like that. All right. I, thinking about it, and I actually see this, Adam Scott... he's from Parks and Recreation. He plays Leslie Knope's boyfriend, Ben Wyatt. I can see him as Bast.
Ooh, he has that, like, he has an interesting
old
facial
look. Exactly.
Features. Yeah, yeah, that's really good. I prefer that to my pick.
But yeah, I see that.
Right. Okay, you're next.
All right, let's see. All right. I like this one because every time I hear his voice or read the title or read the character, this is who I see. So... Master Loren, the head archivist. Now, I'm not sure if you've actually got anything planned for him. So, I'll go. Sticking with Doctor Who, funnily enough, Peter Capaldi. John's looking at me like I've lost my mind. Because he's an older guy. He's tall, lanky, skinny, with an impassive face. And I know... I don't know why, but every time I know Peter Capaldi has attack eyebrows, but I still see Master Loren there for some reason. I have no idea.
See, I see Master Loren as just way more angry and...
But he's not angry. He's never angry. That's the thing.
Maybe I need to read it again, but he was, like, so...
Oh, he became...
Like, annoyed, and Peter Capaldi has too much of a friendly look.
No, well, you see, with Master Lauren, he's completely impassive unless it comes to his books. If you put his books in danger, he becomes a lion, essentially. He becomes a bear.
Yeah, I could
furious.
I could see Peter Capaldi pulling that off.
Yeah, so complete impassivity until you mess up one of his books, and then he'll tear you to shreds. But yeah, all right.
Ambrose.
Oh, yeah, okay, this one's easy for me.
Okay.
It is definitely, I can't remember his name, but it's Draco Malfoy.
Ha ha! Interesting.
Because he, like, we know that he can pull that arrogant swagger cock type of attitude off.
I've got someone, and again, this is following the theme of you picking only Harry Potter actors and me picking Game of Thrones actors, but Ewan Rheon, also known as Ramsay Bolton, that absolute hatred.
That fits.
It's the only thing that I can see, because you end up hating Ambrose so
you really do.
Incredibly
and
much.
You know what? Yeah, okay, I like yours better. I really do. Like, that Draco fits like a hand into a glove, but Ramsay fits like a hand into a hand. That works wonderfully.
Tempe? Did you pick anyone?
Yes. I haven't, obviously, because it's a martial type of race, the Ardem, right? I went for someone who it doesn't fit with the character.
Okay.
At all. Every time I read it, all I can see is Jackie Chan. Even though the Ardem have, like, pale skin. I don't know why. I kind of see, like, a young
Jackie
Chan.
That'd be great, but it wouldn't match the character at all.
No.
But do you know what?
I'll think of someone else.
Someone so much worse.
Okay, go on.
Michael Cera. Because he's so awkward. Yeah, imagine.
Okay, so the mannerisms, yes. Yeah, the mannerisms are good, like in a social interaction, but he'd have to have some serious combat training, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was tossing up between Michael Cera or the guy that play, who's the guy from Big Bang Theory?
Oh, Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah, Sheldon
Cooper.
Yeah,
Jim Parsons. Yeah, all right. That's great. I like it. Okay. Oh, I like it.
All right. Did you choose anyone for Fela? Or Fela, or however you say
Fela.
It. Fela.
I didn't, but let's go on the fly, so you can pick.
Evangeline Lilly.
She is such a beautiful woman. And Lost in... Evangeline...
Lord of the Rings?
The Hobbit.
Oh, The Hobbit, sorry.
A lot of people go on and on about, oh, they didn't have a love interest in The Hobbit. I'm aware of that. And I love staying true to source material. But if you're going to make, and don't get me wrong, I don't like the fact that they made three movies. But if you're going to make three drawn-out movies from a single child's
book...
They had
to add something, right?
They had to add something.
They shouldn't have done it, but once they did, it was good that they added
I liked
something.
That end scene where she's gone like, if this is love, I do not want it. That crushed me, and I love her. But yeah, okay. I go for someone with, like, blondish, brownish hair. Because I don't think she's ever...
Because I imagine
actually, that
her
kind of fits
quite
her.
Dark hair.
Well, that kind of fits Fela, because every time I think of Evangeline Lilly, all I think of is red hair, because she plays Toriel.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. No, I can get behind that, but I need someone younger.
Okay. What about the Cathay? Did you think of someone for a voice for the Cathay?
Yes, I did.
Yours is going to be so much better than mine.
Mine.
Oh, you're the Cathay. Because I was going to say, Snape. What's his name?
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's passed away.
He passed away.
This is ideally.
But
yeah, all right.
Considering we can't choose actors who are not available, I was like, it has to be Liam Neeson, who did a great job of Aslan's voice.
True.
Because it needs to be... Because we think of some evil voice, right? But Kvothe doesn't even consider the fact that the Cathay is evil. I think of someone who's, like, commanding, almost fatherly.
Oh, all right. So someone... Okay, I like that. I kind of see, not many people know, but Matthew Mercer, he's a voice actor who's done, he is the host of Critical Role, the Dungeon Master.
Oh, okay.
He does a whole bunch of voice work. I can see him kind of fitting into the voices of the Cathay, and I like, because he does a whole range of voices, and some of them are real creepy and scary.
Ori.
This one has given me the most trouble.
Me too.
And I can, like, it has been so difficult to pin this beautiful, broken girl down. So, let's work this out together. All right. So, we have this little slip of a girl with hair like a golden cloud, who is strange, who is almost fae-like in her brokenness.
Mm.
So, who would you pick?
It's impossible. It can't be picked.
Okay. All right. Let's think. All right. Brain, activate. Coffee.
The thing that I thought of, though, is that you can always... Like, they may even want to CG her hair. So, my obvious choice was Maisie Williams. Because she needs to have... Because Maisie Williams is getting old now.
Yeah,
she
needs
to have that youthful look to her.
Yeah.
She is not a young character, but she's very childlike.
She's older than Coth. Yeah. But, okay. I don't like that pick, personally. I don't see Maisie Williams as a Ori. I don't think she could pull that off. From, like, what was it? iBoy?
Your expectation is just so high.
She has to be perfect. This beautiful broken girl cannot be anything less than supremely unadulterated magnificence. So, I'm going to pick who a tried and... No, you see, she's too old.
Let's hear it anyway.
I was going to go Kate Blanchett. Because,
oh, is she Galadriel?
Yeah, Galadriel.
From Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, because...
Yep, no, that's acceptable, because she does need to be older.
Yeah, but she's too old.
Yeah,
she
maybe
has
she
that youth. Like, Ori has that youth. And, this is so good.
I don't think you'll ever get there, so we'll be here all night.
Yeah, all right. Next character.
Elodin.
Yeah, okay. This one's good. All right, I want to hear yours first.
Nah, mine's not a real one.
What do you mean yours isn't a real one?
Remember, Elodin is not old.
Yeah.
He's a young man because he mastered all the magic when he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
This person is not even an actor.
Yeah.
But I still want to see them portray this role.
All right.
Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty.
Oh, that's so good. But as long as he...
Unacceptable! He also does the lemon
grab
lemon
voice.
Lemon grab from Adventure Time.
Yes.
Yes. I do say I figured out the name of stone and the name of the wind.
The name of the wind.
So maybe he doesn't need to play it like that.
Yeah, probably.
But you know
not.
What I mean.
I do. Okay. As Elodin, Seth MacFarlane. He's the guy who created Family Guy. He does the Star Trek. He's like a massive Star Trek fan. Yeah, I kind of see him...
Whoa, okay. Quite different.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, he does a lot of voice work as well for his characters. So, I can definitely... I see his... He can pull off Elodin, I think.
Okay.
All right. So, quick fire rounds. Straight off the top of your head. Willem. Doesn't matter who. Just random name.
David Tennant.
David... Simon. Innocent, sweet Simon.
Brad Pitt.
Goodness. This is going to be the weirdest cast movie on the planet.
I'm going to use Jim Parsons for that one.
The Chancellor.
Michael Gambon.
Okay, no, that oddly works a little.
Yep.
But I was going to pick Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, okay, very different.
But I like that one. That's good. Okay.
Falurian.
Gorgeous Falurian. You know what's... Okay, so this isn't meant to be dirty or anything like that, but Falurian screams sex, right?
Yeah, well, that is the meaning of the character.
Yeah, she's just lithe and thing. So I
but
reckon...
the thing to remember is that it's only because of her magic that you think she's...
Oh, I know. No. This isn't anything...
So you can pick any actor and we don't have to say that means you think they're the hottest actor in the world.
This is like... Okay, so... In my opinion, because Falurian screams sex, I think Angelina Jolie from about 10 years ago.
I was going to say Zoe Saldana, who plays Gamora, because all I can think of is the Na'vi, and she plays the Na'vi, because surely they're going to make Falurian CG.
Oh, you're talking...
And she's all blue and stuff.
Avatar. I totally spaced
Avatar,
out
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she plays Gamora as well, because, I mean, in Avatar, you have no idea what she looks like. Devi.
Oh, I like Devi. Like this little short... You know who I think would be a good Devi? Your wife. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Devi's got
to put
a quick
a
wit.
Of Caitlin on the podcast.
Devi's got a quick wit, right?
My wife is an actor, so...
Exactly, right?
Actress.
Yeah, she's got a quick wit. She's smart. And, Yeah, she's not afraid to speak her mind. That's your wife. I've been on the receiving end of your wife's barbed tongue before. It's painful.
Because I was going to say the girl from Parks and Recreation, the girl who's always grumpy.
Oh, April. April, oh no. But yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah. April. You know, people are going to be like listening to the podcast and we're just shouting out like character names and they're going to be like, no, it's this person. How could you not know that?
April Ludgate.
Is played by April, that's the character name.
Oh. I didn't know that Aubrey wasn't Plaza. An actress.
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. okay, final one to finish us off.
All right, this better be good or else I'm recanting that. But yeah.
Most important actress of the whole show besides Kvothe.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yep. How have we not named them already?
Yep.
Denna.
Denna, okay.
Or Jenna or Denny or...
Denae.
Whatever, many names.
Denna. Okay. All right, I'll go first, shall I? Denna is meant to be, in Kvothe's eyes, most beautiful, essentially. She is... dark of hair.
But remember, Bas is like, I met her and her
she's
nose
got a crooked
was kind
nose.
Of funny.
Yeah. But she had perfect ears. No, but she's...
Wait. It should be Evangeline Lilly then.
True. But regardless, so she has dark eyes, dark hair, and she is beautiful, pale of skin. She always smelled of road dust and lavender.
Okay.
So...
Who are you going with?
My first thought, because I don't know why I've stuck with this so much, it's just been like going around in my head, but Emma Watson.
Okay. Yep.
Because the way her hair is described in Name of the Wind, I kind of see Emma Watson's hair that way.
Yep.
But I want to hear yours, I'm going to try and come up with something
okay,
better.
Okay, so mine, I have to explain mine, because mine just sounds like a really not thought out response at all. Like, I just picked a popular actress at the time.
Okay.
Not at all the case. Now... I have picked someone. Okay, I'm going to say who it is. It's Cara Delevingne.
Is that from...
But...
Yeah.
It's from the... What's the Joker one? The Killer Squad. The Joker Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
The Killer Squad.
Anyway, she's from that. But don't think of her as from that. Think of her as from Paper Towns, if you've seen that movie. Because I read Paper Towns right before I read Name of the Wind, or vice versa. I'd have to check my Goodreads. It describes Margot Roth-Spiegelman from Paper Towns almost the exact same way as Denna is described, or at least the way I remember Denna being described. As, right, beautiful to the person who is infatuated with them, but... not, what's the word? Like, not just like every single person in the world is going to look at them and say they're the hottest person in the universe. Because we've had enough of that as a culture and society. So now we want realistic characters. Now, Cara Delevingne was not the perfect pick for Margot Roth-Spiegelman either. But I wanted to draw on that similarity and that's all I could come up with.
Okay, that's fair. I think... Now, not many people have seen it, but Legend of the Seeker is a TV show.
The Sword of Truth series.
Yeah, Sword of Truth series.
As we discussed last episode or the episode before.
Or the episode before that.
I don't know.
But there's a character in there who is played by... Sorry, I don't know who she's played by, but it just came to me then. She's the Mother Confessor. And she's got blue eyes, but contacts can fix that.
Wait, say the actress's name again.
I don't know the actress's name.
Oh.
All I know is her... the character she plays, the Mother Confessor, or Caitlin, I think her name is. And she is wonderful. Like I was infatuated with her when I was watching the series, and I thought her to be most beautiful. So I can see Caitlin, the Mother Confessor, playing that, as long as she had brown contacts, I guess.
Bridget Catherine.
Yeah. Oh, she's gorgeous. Oh, she's wonderful.
Actually, like, I'm just looking at a photo of her now. I've never seen the show or seen her before, but I can... She's very close to how, in my mind's eye, Denna was. Like, kind of... Like, I don't want to say... I don't want to say plain-looking, but, like, not... Like...
She is... She's beautiful in a quiet way. She doesn't scream
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah, totally.
Not that she's beautiful because I'm married, but, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Just let me say it. It's okay. She is gorgeous and beautiful to behold.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
My wife is currently stabbing me with a knife, right?
No, hey, Caitlin, I already picked you for Devi.
Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate that.
That's quite okay.
Because of my quick wit and
barbed.
On the end of my barbed words.
Barbed tongue, yes. I've been on the end of your barbed tongue.
Yeah.
That sounds wrong.
Yeah, I think I need to kill Adam now.
I'll let it happen. That's fair. Okay, so that was that's basically our minor casting of the name of the wind.
We're probably going to have to move this to the end of the episode because it was quite long.
Well, that's all right.